If you have your Bible, I sure hope you do, turn with me to Philippians this morning. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 20, just a couple of verses, 20 and 21 this morning. Philippians 3, starting in verse 20. The great Apostle Paul says, "For our conversation is in heaven. For once also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Father, I ask that you be with us this morning in a very special way. We know and recognize that there's a lot going on all around us, in our society, in our world. But I pray, Father God, as we're here just for this little time, that we can shut those things out, that we can focus our hearts and minds on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will have and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, speak to us this morning. If we need encouragement, Lord, this morning, which a lot of people do, encourage us. Father, if we need direction this morning, and a lot of people do, give us direction. Father, maybe there's that one here today, or maybe more. Father, they're seeking your face. They're convicted. They need to do this particular thing or that particular thing, but they're wrestling with that. I pray, Father, you will make your will known to them. Speak to us, I pray, this morning in a very special way. Meet every need here this day. For I ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Years and years ago, I read a book by Reverend Charles Ferguson Ball. He was a pastor about 60 years. He graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary, and he pastored for about 40 years in Philadelphia. And he wrote a book, and I got the book. Heaven is a place, just as much a place as New York or Chicago is, he said in the book. I saw a recent poll that said 80% of Americans want to know about heaven and want there to be such a place. I kind of find that statistic amazing. In view of our current state of affairs in America, secularism, paganism all over the place, it's very interesting to me that Americans would be interested in heaven or anything else for all that. That's spiritual at all, but evidently they are. But it's somewhat encouraging because that tells me even in this anti-God, secular age, there is still a spark somewhere inside us as human beings that cries out, an age-old thing, there must be more than this. There must be more than this. Well, most of you know that Bill McAllister's funeral was last Tuesday, and I spoke about Bill going home to glory, going to heaven. And so I thought to myself, you know, as I was trying to prepare this week, all I could think about was heaven, 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 heaven. And I thought, well, it's because I had the funeral, and I thought about Bill, and I thought about Barb, and I thought the glory day, going home day, go to heaven. But I came to the men's meeting the other day, and we had a very, very good presentation about what is truth. And they talked about several things. And they actually quoted a couple of verses I've got. So I thought, okay, Lord, all right. Sometimes I come thinking, oh, this is going to be horrible. And probably it is, you know. But nevertheless, I come sometimes thinking that right off the bat. So now this morning, I'm encouraged. This is what God wants you to hear. He showed me the other day is what you want. So, okay, now go home, eat your dinner, relax, before you start criticizing the sermon, roasting the pastor. Because this, I think this is what God wants to talk about. Heaven. To believe in heaven. I believe that heaven's a real place. Now, why I believe that is because Jesus said so. That was my whole point of the last Sunday sermon, wasn't it? Free will, predestination, whatever. The reason I believe those, did I ever reconcile those two apart? I don't think I did, because I don't think it's possible, especially a personal limited intellect like myself. I just believe it because it's in the Bible. And I believe what's in the Bible. Whether or not I can justify it, whether or not I can put it all together, I don't know. So if I have to hold this particular thing on this side, which is free will, I believe we have free will, and I believe that God is God. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. He's all powerful. I believe all those kind of things. So I can't justify those kind of things that smarter men than me have tried. So I don't feel real bad about that. But I believe in heaven because Jesus talked about it. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Isn't that a favorite passage most people have? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I remember years and years ago, we had a guy that we used to bring to church with us. Somehow or another, he got injured and he broke his back. And so he had a little trouble walking. His name was Chester Shepherd. And so Chester would ride with me. And many times we'd bring him home and we'd eat lunch on Sunday afternoon and those kind of things. And then Chester loved to sing. He was just as good a singer as I am. Boy, I'll tell you. Yeah. So we would take the hymn book and we'd say, what do you want to sing? He'd sing this one. Chester could sing everything in the hymn book because he only had one tune. He just sang all the songs to it. Amazing. Well, anyway, Chester was coming on Sunday nights. My friend John Blackburn, very brilliant young man, was going to Winona Lake at that particular time, and he preached a sermon, and he read this passage, in my Father's house are many mansions. No, he was reading from the nearly inspired version. In my Father's house are many rooms. That's what the NIV says. And of course, I'm not here to rehash how to translate things, but in my Father's house, there are many rooms. God's got prepared all for you, but a room doesn't get it. These rooms are grand and glorious and like a mansion, beautiful. So anyway, we're riding home, and Chester said, your friend John did a pretty good job. I said, well, okay, I'll tell John he did a pretty good job. He said, in his Father's house, there were many rooms. He said, well, my Father's house, there are mansions. And he says, I know the difference between a room and a mansion. I said, oh, yeah, I got it. All right. So I told John about that. Of course, John was doing the translation stuff and everything. But listen, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, Jesus said. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you shall be also. So listen, I believe in heaven because Jesus talked about it. Matter of fact, I believe in heaven because I'm going to count on that promise that where I am, there you shall be also. I don't care what you call it. I want to be there. So it's very important. Jesus said it. I believe it. Brother Bill placed his life in his faith in Christ as his Lord and Savior. I believe he went home to heaven. I believe that the Lord Jesus greeted him, but I believe there was somebody else there waiting for him, greeted him too. So it was a glorious day. That's why I have confidence. I have confidence in what God said he will carry through, and there is a place called heaven. There's something there. We wish there was something more. There is. There's going to be something more. Heaven for those who place their faith and trust in Jesus. Yeah, we'll have to get this business of amen. You can say that, all right. I don't care. It's okay. Heaven is a place for those who place their faith and trust in Jesus. Amen. Amen. There is a place, though, for everyone. Did you know that? For those who reject Christ, spurn the grace of God, there's also a place for them. It's called hell. You don't have to say amen to that. You can say, amen. Yeah. So you have heaven in eternity. You have hell. Now, there are some. These guys are unbelievable. There are some who say and proclaim, I've got 6 PhDs, blah, 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 blah. The Bible never uses the word hell. Yeah, yeah. Turn to Luke 16. The Bible never uses the word hell. Verse 19. Okay? Got it? Proudly, confidently. The Bible never uses the word hell. All right. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and in fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gates full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Listen, one out of one are going to die. It's 100%. So the beggar died. He's carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and he was buried. And what does verse 23 say? And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, he cried out and says, Father Abraham, mercy on me. Send Lazarus that I might dip the tip of my finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us there is a great gulf fixed, too late to go from one to the other, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father Abraham, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. What is Moses and the prophets? That's the whole Bible. That's a kind of a euphemism for the whole Bible. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto them, him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, listen, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Wow. Wow. Now you say, well, okay, you were reading the other King James Bible, that old antiquated thing, you know, nobody knows, reading blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. Listen, depending on which translation of the Bible you use, hell is used 13 times or 23 times. And of course, I use the King James. And the King James renders that word, that it translates hell from the Greek. You know, the New Testament was written in Greek, don't you? Basically, so there's some Aramaic there. Okay, from the Greek, there is the word Gehenna. King James translates that as hell. There's the word Hades. The King James translates that as hell. There's the word Tartarus. The King James translates that as 12. In the New Testament, Gehenna is used 12 times. In the New Testament, Hades is used 11 times. Tartarus is only used once. It's found over there in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God did not spare not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, cast them down to Tartarus, and deliver them to the chains of the dark to reserve unto the judgment. So there's those things. You say, well, okay. Oh, wait. Maybe you're like my friend John Blackburn, you use the New NIV. You know the New NIV uses the word hell 14 times. Because you see, it too translates those words to something in English. So hell 14 times. The RSV translates it 13 times. The New American Standard translates it 13 times. Jesus said there in Luke 16, in hell he lifted up his eyes. Jesus believed in hell. But he also believed in heaven. I'm kind of glad of that, aren't you? Yeah. Heaven is named 327 times in the Old Testament. Now, I don't know who sits around counting those things, do you? I don't know. In the New Testament, 255 times. So if you're comparing the times that the Scripture speaks about heaven, it speaks about heaven a whole lot of times. It speaks about hell less. Mark chapter 1, verse 11 says, "And there came a voice from heaven, saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And, of course, Jesus' baptism. I believe in heaven because Jesus did. God the Father dwells there, and I know a lot of people there. And I know a lot of people there. A-M-E-N. And I know a lot of people there. Amen. Okay, I'm glad you know somebody there. Okay, great, 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 great. Heaven is a dwelling place of God, the dwelling place of God the Father Almighty. Paul says there in Philippians 3:20, he's talking about us, he's talking about believers, our citizenship is in heaven. You thought you were citizens of the United States. That's good, all right. That's a good thing, but I think I like the other thing too. Some think heaven is far, far, far away. You know, I don't know. This is just me. I think maybe heaven's a whole lot closer than we think. We're not so far from heaven. I think that we're a whole lot closer to Jesus than we think. I don't think that Jesus is far, far, far away either. We're not far, far, far away from those that we've loved who've placed their faith and trust in Christ in heaven either. I think all those things are wonderful. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses." I don't know how you think about that in your mind, but I think about like a stadium. The world is the playing field, and there are those who have gone on before us, the saints of God, who are in the stadium watching us. Great cloud of witnesses. "Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily doth beset us." Aren't you glad that Scripture recognizes that it's not hard for us to be in the wrong and sin? "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." There's a great cloud of witnesses that are watching us. Have you noticed, maybe you don't even watch football. We watch football at our house. We watch the championship games. We watch the Bengals beat, what was that other team? Chiefs or something like that? My son Matthew has been a Bengals fan for 30-some years or longer. He's been a long-suffering Bengals fan. And I had to leave to come to church that night when the Chiefs were on the 2-yard line or something. And I thought to myself, well, there it is. Bengals have found a way to lose right in their last couple of minutes of the game. So I came home, and there they were. And I said, "Matt," I said, "who won the game?" And he said this, "The Bengals did." What? 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 Listen, one thing I've noticed about these people in the stands, they're ravenous, aren't they? They're all dressed in red if they're Chief fans and all that kind of stuff. And they're doing all these crazy yells and all that kind of stuff. It's wild, isn't it? When the Green Bay was playing up there in Green Bay, the stands were full. I don't know about you, I kind of think to myself, don't these people know it's cold outside? It doesn't seem to bother them. Why? Because they're fans. They're fanatics. They're going to be in the stands. We ought to be fanatical about what we believe in Christ. We ought to be fanatical about each other. We ought to be the same kind of enthusiasm, whether, oh, am I going to church today? Oh, my goodness. Hopefully Mike will be somewhat short. And, you know, no, we ought to be ravenous. We ought to be, yes, Lord, thank you that I have the health and the wherewithal to get up this morning, put my clothes on, get in my car, and go and worship you in spirit and truth as the people of God. We ought to be ravenous about that. We ought to be fans about that. Let people know which side we're on. Well, heaven is a great place. In Revelation 21:21 says something about heaven. It says, the streets of that city were pure gold. Streets paved with gold. What do we usually use out here? We don't use gold, do we? Blacktop? Concrete, something like that? The streets of heaven are paved with gold. The gates, as you enter into those gates, they call it the what kind of gates? Pearly gates. I think that's probably going to be beautiful. The walls of that city are made with precious stones. I don't know. What's a precious stone? A diamond? Isn't that a precious stone? How about rubies? Aren't those precious stones? It's going to be spectacular. What kind of words do we use to describe heaven? Well, I asked Bob that, and he said, well, the streets are paved with gold. Okay, well, I already said that. He didn't know I said that because I hadn't gotten there. I've just asked him. And now listen. Grab your socks. Hold on. This is supposed to be a joke, okay? I had to tell Bob and explain to him everything about it. A rich man on his deathbed pleaded, negotiated with God to allow him to bring some of his earthly treasures to heaven. There's none of that going on. But nevertheless, it's a joke. God reacted. He said, well, this is kind of an unusual request, but this guy's an exceptionally faithful person and all that kind of thing. So he gave him permission to bring something along with him, precious treasure, along in a suitcase. Okay? The time came where the man presented himself at the pearly gates. He was holding a suitcase, gripping this suitcase with both hands because it was heavy, because it had gold bars in it. The Apostle Peter, which I said this at the funeral. I'm sorry. Kyle, I shouldn't have said that. I said, that's silly. Peter's not going to be at the gate. What the? Anyway, but go along with the joke, okay? Peter was at the gate, and he said, sorry, you know the rules. You can't take that in with you. But the man protested, and he said, well, that's a second, Peter. It's okay with God. I got his permission. And Peter said, well, let me examine the contents anyway. So Peter takes the suitcase, looks in, opens it up, and he saw gold bars in the suitcase. And so Peter asked quizzically, you brought pavement with you? I thought it was better than that. Went too far for that. Well, listen, what kind of word would you use to describe heaven? Joy, what kind of word would you use to describe heaven? Okay, that's fine. Gary, put you on the spot. What kind of word would you use to describe heaven?
Wonderful.
Walter, how about you? What kind of word would you use to describe heaven? Okay. Wondell, what kind of word would you use?
Light.
Light? Oh, Constance said glory. Okay. There's all kinds of words that we can use to describe heaven. spectacular, astounding, all this kind of, because what we're trying to say is that heaven, we can't hardly describe it. So we use the best word we know how to try to describe that. So what kind of word do we use to, I don't know. I think we ought to remember this word. In heaven, there's not going to be any crime. There's not going to be any criminals in heaven, except they have accepted Christ. There's not going to be any greedy politicians. Boy, that's going to cut it down, isn't it? Listen, there are not going to be any hospitals there. My wife, a nurse of 40-some years, she's going to be out of a job up there. There's not going to be, any hungry children in heaven. There's not going to be any children been abused and assaulted. There's not going to be anything like that. There's not going to be any broken hearts in heaven. There's not going to be any old, feeble people like me. There's not going to be any cemeteries in heaven. Did you know that? Not at all. Years and years ago when we went to Croatia, we sang this song over and over and over again. You probably know it. Maybe if you know it, you can sing with me too. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. What is it? Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. That's wonderful. No more what? Crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We're going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. I love this last verse. No more dying there. Let me try to sing it. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. One word won't do it, will it? Won't do it. In that city, in that heavenly city, whose builder and maker is who? God. There is no sorrow. There is no remorse. There is no bitterness. All those things are gone forever. Now, I know that what we think about in our minds, glorious, spectacular, all those kind of things, kind of describe the externals of that city. And it is going to be far greater than that. But that's our externals. We always get caught up with the externals. The internal thing is the one that's so great. There's not going to be any crying there. There's not going to be remorse there. There's not going to be dying. There's not going to be crippled children there. There's not going to be starvation. None of those things in heaven. None of them. I heard a pastor say one time, Otis and I, and Otis was repeating something he had heard. And he said, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. I think that's true. Our society, 80% of the people, interested in heaven. Kind of like to hear something about it and all those kind of things. That's great. That's marvelous. But listen, talking about it is one thing. Trying to encapsulate it in a word is another thing. Singing about it is one thing. But listen, the thing is, more important than all, don't miss it. Because there is a heaven for those who place their faith and trust in Christ. But there's also this other place. Nobody wants to talk about that. There necessarily has to be. But there is a heaven. Years and years ago, some of you may have done this, Dr. D.J. Kennedy, he used to be the pastor at Coal Road Baptist Church back there in Fort Lauderdale, he came up with something called Evangelism Explosion. Anybody ever hear of that? Okay, a couple. Yeah. And it was kind of a method. You went door to door and you knocked on the door and you asked some diagnostic questions of the people who came to the door. And you started out with something simple, and you went to something a little bit more important. Randy, Michael, and I did that, and I would help out a little bit, you know, because I just, okay, do you go to church anyplace? Oh, yeah, I think you can fill that in. I'm a Lutheran, Methodist, Presbyterian, or I don't care what it is. Fill that in, okay? How often do you go? I would say, you know, some, seldom, a little bit. Randy would just leave them right there. Let them answer the question. Well, sometimes, they're really in trouble. They're really in trouble. I remember this one guy. He said he went to the church right over here. And I thought, okay, I wrote that down, checked that one. I was going to go on to the next question. And Randy said, is Pastor so-and-so still there? I could tell. He didn't know who Pastor so-and-so was. So I'm thinking to myself, let me kind of move this along a little bit here. We've got this guy stuck here. And then Randy said, how long has it been since you've been there? You know what? I don't think the guy ever went there. You go down state over there and you pass that sign. You can see the sign and you can read who the pastor is and those kind of things. That's probably as close as he ever got to going there. A lot of people like that. They want something more. But they're going to miss it. Because they don't know how to answer that final question. If you were, and I always put it in this terms, I said, this is a diagnostic question. I said, it's just hypothetical. If you die today and stand before God Almighty, and he would ask you why I should let you in my heaven, what would you say? Oh my. That was interesting. All kinds of little answers. Of course, what they should have said was, I place my faith and trust in Christ. You see, some people will tell you, I'm a Baptist. That's marvelous, wonderful. I guess I've been a Baptist pastor for at least 40 years or something like that. I don't know. Numbers are not my strong point. I think I've been here 40 years. Is that right? Over? Okay. All right. 40 plus. Okay. All right. Listen, over those years, I have met people who've told me they're a Baptist. They're not any more a Baptist than my shoe is a Baptist. You know what they're really saying? They're really saying my grandmother was. Or I knew somebody one time who was. They want to give you some kind of answer. It was just like me when I went in the Air Force. They asked me what denomination I was from. I didn't know how to spell Presbyterian. I was a good Presbyterian. I didn't know how to spell it. So the guy goes, how do you spell that? P-R. He says Baptist, B-A-P-T. God has a strange sense of humor, doesn't he? He's got a strange sense of humor. Listen. The answer is placing your faith and trust in Christ. The answer is that you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You get mad at me again. I don't. People who say they have embraced Christ and then deny the resurrection, I don't believe it. That's the foundation of the faith. He either rose from the grave or he didn't. And if he didn't, he's no better than Buddha or anybody else. They're dead, rotten in the grave too. But Jesus did on the third day. He rose from the grave. He died. He didn't swoon. He died. He died for his, the scripture says he died for our sins, that he might be that propitiation, that bringing together, that complementing, that atonement with God. Our sins forgiven because of Christ's perfect sacrifice on the cross. And God said, the Father said, up and out, man, so that you can be confident. Everything that Jesus said and did was true. I don't care if you don't like what he said and did, I don't know. But everything was true. Everything was true. And so we need to recognize that there is a place called heaven. It's a wonderful place, a marvelous place. Better than just the outside pearly gates and all that kind of streets of gold. It's better than all that. It's more astounding than all that. Because it is the very place where God dwells with his people. They're not going to be crying there. All those kind of things. How do you get there? Place your faith and trust in Christ. That means to repent. Repent basically means to agree with God. God says you've all of sin come short of the glory of God. Well, I'm not a sinner. I'm a pretty good guy. I don't spit in the sink and I don't go out with girls who do, you know, or something, whatever that thing is. You know, I'm kind of thinking, I don't think I'd want to go out with a girl that spits in the sink either. Come think of it. But that ain't it, is it? That's not it. God is commanding us. God is beseeching us. God is saying, repent. Come to me. So repentance means to acknowledge your sin, to agree with God. God said you're a sinner, you agree with God. There is that idea, most assuredly there, in a couple of the words that usually just translated repentance, that has the idea of godly sorrow. I think you probably need to feel some remorse for what you've done, most assuredly. Repentance, though, put our faith and trust in the risen Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. It's not that hard. It's real easy. The work's all done. God has a gift. Has a gift. By faith are you saved. Through grace, the grace of God. It's a gift of God. What is it? Not of works. Lest any man should boast. You see, if it was us, we could say, huh. I'm a whole lot better than Ron. I don't know how Ron made it in. He's just by the skin of his teeth, you know. No, not going to be any of that. Matter of fact, you're not even going to think that way at all. You're going to be so wonderfully amazed and overpowered with the grace of God that you're going to say, hallelujah! You're going to want to sing. You're going to want to run around seeing everybody you know. And you'll know them. You say, well, I don't know about my grandpa. He wasn't a very good guy, whatever. I don't know how that works either exactly, except that I don't think, not going to be any sorrow there, not going to be any crying there. So somehow or another, I think God kind of blanks that out. You'll see believers there, and you'll not be concerned about those other things. Has nothing to do with denominational background, has nothing to do with any of that kind of stuff. This is not a religion. This is a living faith in a living Savior. There's all kinds of religions. Half of them say contradictory things about each other. That's not it. I heard a little story one time about this lady comes in to the pastor, and she says, Pastor, you know, my dog died. And I want you to have kind of a funeral for my dog. And the pastor said, well, hey, listen, I don't do funerals for dogs. When you're a dog and you die, you're dead like a dog. Now, I know I just got in trouble with that, too. All kinds of pet lovers. It's a joke. It's a funny, okay? I don't do funerals for dogs. She said, well, okay. She said, I had $35,000 I was going to give to the church if you would have that funeral. So if you're not going to do it, I'll go down to the Methodist. He said, wait. You didn't tell me it was a Baptist dog? It's crazy, isn't it? We come up with all kinds of stuff. Listen, all that's just gibberish. It's important to realize that God holds us accountable for our sins, but he's made and paid the sin debt, and all he's asking us to do is agree with him that Jesus' death on a cross was the perfect sacrifice for my sins, for your sins, for all humanity. Embrace him by faith. Come to him. Because listen, one out of one of us die. I don't know about you. I think I like that heaven deal. I know I don't like that hell deal. I want to go to heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you keep your word. Oh, Lord, we vacillate. We come up with all kinds of things. We come up with all kinds of ways of trying to express an eternal truth, which are sometimes very, very far from the truth, in that these things have very little to do with what the Scripture says. But we believe them, and we enjoy them, and we revel in them. But, Lord, we need to reevaluate those things. If they're not biblical, then put them aside and believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call. Ask for forgiveness. Claim that gift. It's yours for the keeping for all eternity. Father, I thank you for who you are and what you've done. But Lord, it ain't over yet. There's more to come. And it's going to be spectacular. Words cannot describe. But Lord, it's there. And you have that waiting for us. Bless us this morning, Lord. Calm our hearts. Lord, maybe there's a need for the Holy Spirit to just strengthen us. Help us to re-examine, touch our lives again. We need that. Be with us. And Lord, if decisions need to be made, even this morning, even in this situation, in this particular service, let them be done so to honor Jesus, because it's his name I pray. Amen.